All the way from Winchester, that's Frank Turner and Do One. A very good afternoon to you. My name's Zan. Welcome to the second part of Your Green Voice. I'm delighted to say we are joined in the studio with our guest today, Catherine Barber. And Catherine is the Green Councillor for Portswood. Is it just Portswood or Portswood?
Well, it's Portswood, Highfield and St Denis, but it's called Portswood.
Portswood, fantastic. Yeah. It's quite a large patch.
Yeah, they're all pretty big patches. I've walked all of it, so and run it, so I know. Yeah, I know it quite well.
Oh, you're a keen runner, are you?
Well, I'm a runner. I wouldn't know about the word keen. It always seems like really hard work, and I wonder why I do it, but I do it. Yeah.
But you're also a cyclist as well, because I saw not only have you got your bike in there, but you mentioned it in the bit of information that you sent to me. Do you find cycling in Southampton a good experience?
Well, generally, it's quite a good experience, unless cars and vans get a bit close to me. And then I sometimes catch up with them at the traffic lights and have a conversation with them about how close they passed me. That doesn't always go so well, but I feel it's important on all the cyclists to keep our space around us.
When we first met, that was at the library. 2 weeks ago, not the library,
the art gallery.
Yes, just above the library. And that was for a very interesting event, because it was the Citizens Climate Assembly Transport Report.
Correct.
A lot of things came out of that. There were 10
recommendations.
10 recommendations. That's right, yeah. Yes. As someone who's very green, was there anything new in those recommendations where you thought, well, that's something different?
No, it reminded me very much of the Green Party policy on active transport. So, I felt very much at home with what they were saying.
So do you think it was interesting that you take a group of citizens, you put them into a room, because it's 40 citizens picked out of 8,000 people invited. They all came to roughly the same conclusions.
Yeah, I mean, it's inevitable when you have that time and space to hear the data and to hear the information about what the impact is on our city and our citizens if we're pumping out pollution to everybody through the cars and cruise liners, etc., that people will say, yeah, we need to do things differently in the future. And I think, you know, if you're in traffic jams around the city, maybe you're listening to us at the moment and you're sitting in a traffic jam and thinking, oh, I'm, you know, going to be late for my appointment. Maybe next time you'll think, well, on a fine sunny day like today, I'll get on my bike and go that way instead. Maybe,
yeah. And well, obviously you've got the bikes that you can hire as well.
Yeah, the Beryl bikes, they're brilliant. And the Voy scooters as well. I'm quite a fan of those.
Really?
Yeah.
I like the idea of them, but I just don't like the idea of falling off.
No, I have used them to get back from city centre, but they're very slow. So as a cyclist, I was like, oh, come on, you know, because it has a regulator on it, so it doesn't go as fast as the bicycle.
Yeah, but I haven't used a Beryl bike either, even though I am a cyclist. So the Beryl bike
The Beryl bike is super. And all of these services, they're all on the Breeze app, which the city has signed up to. And so if you want to think about other ways of getting around the city, best thing to do is to download the Breeze app. And then it'll tell you how long it'll take you to walk somewhere. It'll tell you where the nearest Voy scooter is, where the nearest Beryl bike is. It'll tell you about the buses. So, for example, when I go to the guide dog down in Beavers for a drink and I want to, you know, get the bus home afterwards, I'll sit in the pub and I'll see that the next bus home is going in 5 minutes, so I know to finish up my pint and then get out to the bus stop. And there it is. Takes me home.
And the Breeze app was mentioned two or three times during the actual report by the citizens who are going, we never knew this existed. How long has it been in the city?
I think it's been around about a year, something like that. They're still doing research on it, because I get sent little surveys. And if you do the survey, you get a £10 credit sent to you. So, yeah, I mean, I keep telling staff in the council about it and saying, you know, come on, you know, this is an alternative. Because I talk to staff and say, you know, how did you get to work today? And they say, oh, they drove in or whatever. And then we get into it and I say, well, have you downloaded the Breeze app? Oh, I've never heard of that. So, yeah, there's definitely a communication issue for people to find out about that app. I'll probably mention it to the leader of the council soon and she'll mention it on her next... she has a Friday, you know, information thing. And a couple of weeks ago, I said the Environment Centre are doing really good work at the moment on helping people to get their homes insulated and advice to people. And then the next day, she mentioned it on her weekly sort of contact with people. So I don't know if it had anything to do with me at all or not. Probably not. But, yeah, I'll mention to her about the Breeze app and suggest that she mentions that one Friday.
It's all about sowing seeds, isn't it?
Totally. And that's why it's just so amazing, you know, to have, for our team to have got a green councillor in the city.
Are you the first green councillor?
I'm the first green councillor in 801 years of Southampton, yes.
Fantastic. Congratulations. How does it feel?
It's been really tough. It's been 10 months of learning a new job, understanding how local democracy works, going to enormous numbers of meetings. I mean, reading and reading and reading. My eyesight's got worse this year, and I'm sure that's down to all the reading. So I get a report, 250 pages, something like that, and then we'll have a few days in which to read it, digest it, and then try and ask an intelligent question about it. So It's tough. And then, of course, there's lots and lots of casework, lots of people emailing, messaging, all the different methods that people can contact you now. So it's a big job.
Yes, I'm sure it is. What kind of reports are these? Are these more to do with Portswood? Or are they more to do with what you're doing?
They're council. So, for example, the mineral and waste plan is written by Hampshire, and that's about how we're going to deal with those, you know, aggregates. How we're going to deal with those in the city. Then there was a recent biodiversity and green infrastructure strategy came out. Regularly, strategies around health and social care, housing planning, and so on. So it's very diverse, which I enjoy because I'm someone who, if I know about myself that I like new things. I like, you know, to be stimulated by new things. So, yeah, if it was very repetitive, I would probably be getting bored.
Yes. No, I can understand that. And you got in front of me, I think this is, and let me just get the... a motion, amendment to a motion. Mm. And what exactly is this? Because this happened yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. So what happened was over the last few months, I've been looking at the River Itchen and thinking about access to the River Itchen for us, all of us as citizens, and thinking, how can we maintain that? I heard a whisper that there were plans to move Cemex from the site where they are located next to the football stadium at St Mary's and for flats to be built there. So I thought to myself, well, this is what impact is this going to have on us? You know, clearly that's a commercial site at the moment. So I thought, I want to find out what's happening along the river. How's the frontage being used? So I cycled from there right the way down to the bulkhead at Ocean Village, and then I retraced my steps and cycled all the way up to Cobden Bridge, crossed over, and then cycled from Cobden Bridge down to Woolston. And as I went, I called on businesses and chatted to them about what they were doing there, whether they needed river frontage or not. And then I used Google Earth to map out how all the space was being used. So what I found out was that about 50% of the frontage is being used by commerce. A few percent is being used by marine sort of people having their boats and things. 17% is being used by people who own property with river frontage. And then we have about 25% access as the public. And I want the council to move to have greater access for the public. So in the future, if they do build on Cemex and Hanson there by the stadium, that the river frontage is accessible by the public, not just by the people who live in that block.
Right. But as a developer, I'm going to go, I want it to be exclusive of my residence, because that would increase the value and make it a little bit more cosy. How do you navigate around that?
Yeah, it's a real challenge, because you've got planning, you've got the local plan, which we're working on at the moment, and how do you square those issues so that everybody can have that access to the water frontage? I think there are enough examples. If we look at Meridian Waterside between Northam Bridge and Cobden Bridge, where you've got a lovely pathway along there and people can still have their views of the river, but there's a lovely walkway. Now, the reason that's there is because there was a public right of way there, and so that had to be maintained. And it's really just pushing in that direction and having that as the sort of baseline position for the council, that actually will say to developers, yes, you can have this site, but we need to have access for the public. At the same way, though, when they did Centenary Quay down in Woolston, the developers, I think it was Crest Nicholson, said we're really concerned that there might be people who make trouble along the waterfront. So they brought some police came along and backed up that. And so unfortunately, at that development, there's no waterfront access for the public. People can look over the water, obviously, if they live there. But and I fought against that. That was a long time ago, a long time before I got elected. And I just felt that was such a sad thing, because you look at somewhere like Poole Harbour, they've had a policy to move towards having the whole waterfront accessible and people being able to walk all the way around that harbour. And so every time a piece of land has come up to be developed, they've said, well, that's our end goal. And so the developers have accepted that, they've bought the land, and then they've developed it under those. There's only about, I think there's about one company that is still has that access at Poole Harbour, which isn't available to the public. But apart from that, you have a lovely place to walk. Isn't that what we all want?
Oh, no, it certainly is. I mean, in your ideal sort of Southampton River Itchen picture, would it be that they had access either side, either bank, you could just walk up from Ocean Village all the way to Bitton, and the same from Woolston to Bitton on the other side.
Wouldn't that be absolutely fabulous? Can you just imagine what joy that could give you, walking along that waterfront? The research about blue spaces is just so clear. We have the benefits from it, even after coming away from the waterfront. And, some places have done it with walkways. So that's, down at the boardwalk in St. Denis, they've built it out there. And, it's a lovely place to go.
But I didn't know about Cemex moving. And it's interesting because you look at it, when you go down to St. Mary's and you think, it's not a great advert for the city. I mean, okay, yes, it's industrial. So if you love your industry, then you think this is fantastic. This is industry right in the centre of the city. But at the same time, you sort of think, it could be a little bit more interesting here. So I hope your plans work, because your intervention, shall we say. But I was waving this document. We started talking about it. Now we've got a massive, massive loop. But this was something that was brought up in council 2 days ago.
Yeah, so yesterday. So I wrote the motion, and then it got sent in, and the other parties, so the Labour Party and the Conservative Party, both read it, made some amendments to it, sent me their amendments, and then I worked on the motion with my seconder, Councillor Wood from Bassett, and we agreed a play of words and we sent it back to the other parties. So actually, when we debated the motion, there was quite a lot of consensus in the room. So when we finally got to the voting point at the end of the debate, only one person didn't vote for the motion.
Fantastic. And the motion is to actually give access to the public on the bank of the Itchen.
And to increase that over time.
Well done. Congratulations. How did you feel?
I was absolutely delighted. And afterwards, you know, one of the people who's facilitated these came up to me afterwards and said, you know, you did really well, Catherine, to get everybody agreeing to that. You know, that doesn't always happen in the chamber.
And is that the Green way?
It is.
Consensus.
Oh, absolutely. And I find elements of being in the chamber very difficult when there's a lot of conflict happening. And my whole career was about bringing groups of people together who had different perspectives and trying to get them to work together. I integrated a health and social care service in Southampton. So I feel that the skill set that I developed through my career is paying off for me now as I do this job.
Great. Well, I want to talk more about you as a woman in the council, the work-life balance, but also something that you brought up earlier. And this comes from what Thames Water, Southern Water sent us in their response to the Friends of Itchen Estuary. But it's all about the odour management for Portswood Sewage Works. And we're going to talk about this in the next part of the interview. But there's a team of people around Portswood smelling the air and reporting back. This is absolutely fantastic. This is citizen science. And you're going to hear about that in a moment on Your Green Voice.
From every culture
over the world
to right here
in our ports and our city,
people make
Southampton
Voice FM.
It's Ace. There is a new type of business networking in the area, one that mixes charities and voluntary organisations with the SME business community. It's a great way to communicate with people you don't meet day to day, and there's always the potential for new opportunities. It's called ACE Community Business Networking and meets on the third Thursday of every month at the King Rufus in Chandler's Ford. Guest speakers at every monthly meeting, yearly membership £240. And it's ACE.
Green Cleaning.
Great cleaning doesn't need to cost the earth. I'm Sean Brogan, founder of Be Green Cleaning. And if you want office cleaning that's effective, long-lasting and saves you money by reducing staff sick days, then call in Be Green Cleaning to show you the benefits of probiotic cleaning agents. Probiotic cleaning naturally removes bugs and dirt and can keep on working even after application. So it's good for the planet and it's great for your staff. If you want a great cleaning service that is kinder, flexible, principled and really cares about cleaning, then visit begreencleaning.co.uk and book a no obligation quotation from
Be Green Cleaning.
On sunny Southampton's Voice FM, that is only the poets and One More Night. My name's Zan, a very good afternoon to you. And this is Your Green Voice, talking about the environment every Thursday from 2 o'clock. Don't forget, every morning, the breakfast show, Your Green Breakfast at 8 o'clock. Also talking about the environment, giving you all the latest green news. Right now, we have our guest, Catherine Barber. She's the Green Councillor for Portswood. A very good afternoon to you, Catherine. How are you feeling?
Hello, Zan. I'm feeling great, thank you. I'm enjoying chatting with you.
Thank you very much. I'm enjoying you being here. We're learning so much. And we're going to focus now on the River Itchen. First of all, I met someone the other day who had grown up in Southampton, who grew up in Portswood, and they didn't know that the Atlantic salmon spawned in the River Itchen. Do you think that's quite a common thing?
I am afraid it is very common. I think we sort of turned ourselves away from nature and our local environment. And when we go to school, you know, we get taught subjects which are about things hundreds of years ago or a long way away from where we live and doesn't really have any connection to us. And I think you know, just learning about our local area and seeing, you know, our place in that, it's just so powerful, and it really makes you feel, you know, connected, and hopefully leads you to then care about the area and want it to be as good as it can be. So yeah, I think it's something that all of us have a role in, you know, in our community, whether we're a teacher or whether we're just friends with kids, you know, just introducing them to all the amazing insects, creatures, and then, you know, thinking about the River Itch and all the different creatures that live underwater. I think we've almost sort of been blind to that because we can't easily see them. It's not like birds that you can easily see. Because we can't actually see the salmon coming up the river to spawn, we've thought, well, oh, that's just something, you know, we get our fish fingers and we enjoy eating those, but you know, they don't really have a connection to living beings.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think you said some very interesting things there. I'm just still thinking about what you said about how we're taught in school, that everything is from, you know, 400 or 500 years ago and thousands of miles away. You know, it's as if we don't want to learn about the local area or things that are happening now. It's a very interesting point, that. Yeah. Very interesting point. So you yourself, obviously, I mean, when you were talking earlier about the getting access to the River Itchen for yes. the public, and you did all that cycling around and walking around and taking a really good interest in the local area. The what's happening in Portswood at the moment with the sewage works there, it's very interesting. And it was great that Southern Water gave us some answers today. So I don't know if these answers have placated anyone or helped the, let's say, people like the Friends of the Itchen Estuary. There's also Friends of the Itchen Navigation as well. Yes. That's another group that's doing work further upstream, and whether it placates them. But the one in particular, which is suits your patch, is the question that Friends of the Itchen Estuary had for Southern Water was, does Southern Water's inability to produce an odour management plan for Portswood sewage works, a statutory requirement, mean there is no such plan in existence? And their answer was, there is an odour management plan for Portswood. It was updated last year. This may not necessarily be a publicly shared document. However, odour management on the site is taken seriously. It then talks about they have a lot of monitoring equipment on there. It's called EnviroSuite. It does have an online portal, and they've offered access to interested parties, so they'd be interested and able to see the data that is live and historic. But the main smell that people can smell is hydrogen sulfide. Yes. Now, before the show, you were telling me there is a network
yes.
of residents in the Bitterton and Portswood area.
Correct.
Who are sniffing the air
yeah.
on a daily basis.
That's right.
Tell us more about this.
Yeah, so this is an amazing man called Jan Krumins, who lives in Priory Road, who has listened to the flannel, the things that we've been told by Southern Water, you know, for years and years. And, you know, what you've just shared with us today is information that we've known for some time. I've actually been for a visit around the site and seen the EnviroSuite there. So, the joys of being a councillor. But, you know, everybody can go if there's plans for an invitation. But coming back to Jan, he said, we need to collect some data about the how pongy the smell is and where we're smelling it. Because in summer, you want to be out in St. Denis and having a barbecue in your garden. And you're just like, oh no, the smell's really bad. It's coming my way. I can't have my barbecue with my friends. And it's like really, I mean, it's totally pungent, repugnant smell. So anyway, what he's done is he's gone all around St. Denis, into Portswood, even across the river, Bitton Park, and found people who are willing to be part of a group to give him a text message when they smell a pong. So you've got your levels of pong. You've got your 1, 2, and 3, depending on how bad it is. And so you say to Jan, right, well, it was, you know, Thursday at midday, and I was, you give the location. So he then goes away. He puts all this onto a spreadsheet, and he's done some really good maps of this. And you can look at the wind direction and you can see where the smells are, and it's very much dependent on wind direction. So a lot of the time we got onshore winds, so then it's sort of going up further up the river onto Riverside Park. Yeah, if you've ever walked or run through Riverside Park, I bet you've smelt it up there, and so on. So it's data, and then we can present that data to Southern Water and say, come on, do something about this. This isn't just a few random people. This is a whole community collectively saying, sort it out.
Sort it out. Yeah. Well, I this is the first time I've seen an answer from Southern Water. You're saying this is the same answer that they've given you
yes.
Many times before.
Yes.
Okay, it's a stock answer here. Then the go down to the next one. Friends of the Itchen Estuary published data showing extremely high levels of fecal bacteria levels in the Itchen Estuary. When will people be able to swim, kayak or paddleboard on the Itchen Estuary without fear of contracting sewage-related illness? Southern Water say, we understand the concerns about this. There are many sources of pollution and this area of the Itchen is not bathing water. For instance, agriculture, surface water runoff and Southampton itself is a working port. What we have done is invest £72 million in our treatment works to improve the health of Southampton Water, with investment in Woolston, Millbrook, Slow Hill Copse, and we're also building another storm tank at Portswood. And then they've got a longer-term Clean Rivers and Seas plan where they're investing £1.5 billion between 25 and 2035 to reduce storm overflows across our region. So how do you see that? Is that an answer you
That's information that I'm aware of. And the investment has mostly been in Woolston and in other places. It hasn't been at Portswood Wastewater Treatment Centre. What Portswood needs is a UV filter, which the other wastewater treatment centres locally have. And what that does is it kills a lot of the E. coli, the bad bugs in the water. So before it comes out into the river as outflow, it's had this UV treatment. And, you know, that could really improve the quality of our water at Portswood. The other point I wanted to make about...
was about bathing?
Well, obviously, bathing would be lovely to be able to do bathing. I can't remember what it was. You'll have to come back to me. Yes, the storm tank at Portswood.
Yes.
Yeah. So at the moment, all of the sewage, for all of the matter from our toilets and the water goes into a drainage system, along with all of the water from flooding and from... rainfall. So that's all mixed together and goes down to Portswood, down at the wastewater treatment centre. And when there isn't any rain happening, they've got enough capacity, they can deal with everything coming through. But as soon as you get a really big storm or heavy rainfall, they're having to pump water virtually straight out into the river. So what they're doing, the government's told them, they've got to increase the amount of storage in the treatment centre from what it is at the moment. They've had to increase it by 70% to have more space in which to store this water. So there's going to be hundreds of lorries coming down to the treatment centre at Saltmead, and then they'll be taking soil out, building these great big tanks, and then taking that away by lorry. So I wrote to them and said, look, can you give some compensation to local people? You're going to have all these lorries over the next 3 months. And they said, no, basically, we'll give you a little bit of compensation towards maybe a local play area or somebody just helping with some, you know, community work around the area or something. So I was pretty disgusted, really, with that response from them.
Would the UV treatment help in that situation?
Yes, it would.
So yeah. They wouldn't need to build the storm tank if they had the UV treatment?
Well, they need both, because mm-hmm. the government's told them that they can't go on pumping water out. I mean, it would help a bit, the UV treatment, but they need both things. And there also needs to be a separation of wastewater from rainwater. That's the real long-term solution. But that is... the investment for that would be phenomenal, really expensive.
Right. Hmm. What a situation we've got.
Indeed.
Next question then, as you go through this. So the other one is, will Southern Water support the important work Friends of the Each and Estuary is doing to investigate sewage pollution and its impacts? For those who don't know, people like Gavin are out in the Each and Estuary sampling water. They're crowdfunding for this, raising money so they can send the water samples off. And it really is, once again, another citizen science project to find out information about how polluted the water actually is. Southern Water says we're always looking to see how we can support groups engaged in citizen science, and we, like them, care about the health of our rivers and seas. We already support citizen science projects elsewhere in Whitstable and at Langstone Harbour. We've engaged with Friends of the Itch and Estuary, but we are keen to support them wherever possible if they proceed in their application to apply for bathing water status.
It all sounds very positive, doesn't it?
Good, yeah. But the... For those who, the Itch and Estuary, where does that stretch to and from?
My understanding is that it starts at Wood Mill, which is where the tidal reach goes to, and then beyond that you've got a dam and water coming through from the river above, and then it goes all the way down to the bulkhead at just beyond Ocean Village.
Right, okay then. Okay. And finally... Southern Water has been invited to the All Aboard, the fantastic Itch and Estuary and Community Festival on the 15th of June, but have not replied. Will they attend? Well, they say their team regularly goes to events like this, and will take this into consideration and may attend. Although, if you do want to see Southern Water, they are today over at West Totten Community Centre, and they'll be there till 7 o'clock. So if you want to have a chat with them, well, things happening at Millbrook and Wolston, or you need help with your bills and financial support, or you want to find out what they look like, what they how they chat, and what they're up to as far as their draft business plan goes, then there's loads of things going on there you can find out about at West Totten Community Centre, and that is until 7 o'clock this evening. On a scale of 1 to 10, Councillor Barber, are you frustrated with the state of the Itchen at the moment?
Exceedingly frustrated, yeah. I don't know what your measure is, whether 10 is very frustrated or 1 is very frustrated.
I think 10 is going to be very frustrated.
Yeah, I think I'm on a 10 for that, because this is something... I mean, I've been organising meetings about this topic at St Denis Church Community Centre for a number of years. And alongside my other councillors for the ward, Councillor Savage and Finn, we are constantly having people raising issues about this to us. And it really, you know, some of the excuses that Southern Water have sent about why smells are particularly bad on a day or something like that, you know, they're almost laughable, you know, after Christmas, saying things, well, everybody's eaten a lot of Brussels sprouts, you know, so the smells are going to be bad, and so on. So it really is below an organisation, you know, it really is poor. And I think we've got to, as a community, and we've got wonderful local groups like the Hampshire Open Water Swimmers, for example, Rachel Jones, who leads that. And, you know, she organises swims for people. And I think at the most recent event that happened at St Denis Boat Club, they just did toes in the water because the quality of the water there was so poor and they didn't want to go into the water on that occasion. So there are fantastic people around, you know, really pushing on this issue, and I think the more of us who get behind that, you know, we can make a difference in our area.
Lovely. We're going to continue this conversation in a moment in the third part of the show, but Councillor Catherine Barber, thank you so much for being with us, and we will actually, I'm going to talk about dog collars next, because that's the next issue that's come up this year. That's something I didn't know about, and something that is affecting further up on the River Itchen.
Voice FM.
Do you want to be a panicking parent or guardian? Get essential first aid lessons for saving children and infants from MAPA training. You'll be taught how to respond in a quick and calm manner in situations such as choking, allergic reactions, child CPR and head injuries. MAPPA also has online videos so you can have a quick refresh before going on any adventure. Every parent and guardian should have first aid skills. Prices start at £40, group discount available. Visit mappatraining.com.
Sweet Pea Florists, Bridge Road, Woolston.
Sweet Pea Florists, for all occasions and celebrations. Sweet Pea Florists.
Call Southampton 02380 433154, or visit them at sweetpeaflorists.co.uk. Flowers for all occasions.
Sweet Pea Florists.
Visit the girls in the flower shop on the corner of Bridge Road and Defender Road, Woolston.
Former number one in the South Coast music chart, that's Chasing Scarlett and Eric Walker, Building Blocks. They've been in the chart now, I think, for 14 weeks. And according to Nathan, the longest any band's been in the charts is 15 weeks. So they're really gunning for that record. And it's a great example of a band or a group of musicians knowing exactly what to do. They got to promote themselves to get anywhere in the South Coast music chart, and they've really done a great job. So they made number one. If you vote for them again, you never know, they could be number one again on Sunday. That's how it goes. And you vote for them at voicefmradio.co.uk/chart, or if you've got the app, it's a couple of thumb taps away. If you haven't got the app, then visit the App Store or for Google Play and search for Voice FM Southampton. And thank you very much. Don't forget, voting closes at 7 o'clock. Gemma Paddington will be here for Healthy Lifestyle, and that will be at 4 o'clock, talking about all things about your body. And this one is about backs, bad backs, and how you can avoid that, and what you can do if you have got a bad back. A lot of us, especially those of us who sit down all day, do suffer, and there is plenty you can do to alleviate that. So that's Gemma Paddington with a Healthy Lifestyle show, and also probably no doubt talking about the fact that she met Dame Kelly Holmes again last weekend, and talking about the information from the menopause conference that she went to. So we're talking about green things with Councillor Catherine Barber. She's the Green Party councillor for Portswood, and all sorts of things. Now, I mentioned dog collars just briefly. It was something new that I read about in the New Forest, and they were pointing out that dogs with dog collars have got flea treatment on it, and they were going into the water, and the flea treatment was coming off in the water and therefore destroying the insects. And Catherine, have you been aware of that at all, or is that something new to you?
No, that's new to me.
Sorry, didn't have your microphone up there.
No, that's news to me.
Yes. Yeah, it was. It's obvious when you hear about it, yes. But it's the insects that just fly above the water, which the fish eat, and so therefore. But even now, and this is another thing that was pointed out recently, is that people, let's say over the age of 50, they know what it was like insect-wise, yes, when they were 10, and it was completely different to now. Whereas if you were, let's say, a 15-year-old now, 20-year-old now, you would say, there's not that many insects around. But beforehand, there used to be loads of insects
around. Absolutely.
Loads.
Yeah, you'd well, in the car, you'd windscreen would be covered in, you know, the lights would be covered with bugs. And it's extraordinary how, you know, they've just become, you know, something to treat with and deal. And thinking about this issue of dogs going into rivers, further up on the River Itchen, they've been thinking about this, and they've got places in the river where dogs can go into the water, because what was happening was dogs were going in where creatures were nesting, and were destroying nests and eggs. So that's been quite good to have places. They've certainly done that at Bishopstoke. There are places for dogs to go in, and also I believe quite a lot of women go in there every morning and have a swim and what's called a swoosh down the river from upper reaches of Bishopstoke down to the hub. And some of just a quick shout out to my friends in the Solon Running Sisters who do that.
Yes, but there is this disgruntlement amongst some people, maybe the anglers and things like that, about the swimming that's going on. And you've got the dogs, you've got the anglers, you've got the swimmers, everyone wanting to use the Itchen.
Yeah.
And then you've got those who want to protect the salmon and the I can't remember what they're called, treads, reds they're called.
Reds, where
the fish lay their eggs.
Yeah. So as you say, you know, there's quite a lot of conflict now, you know, as populations are getting more and more dense in our city, and people are looking for green spaces and blue spaces to deal with the frustrations and the mental health issues that, you know, arise. So, you know, when people I know go swimming at Bishopstoke, you know, they're told, you know, to keep their feet off the bottom of the water so that they don't affect it. I've actually stopped swimming there because of my concerns about the impact that it could have on creatures that are, you know, using the floor of the river there. And so now if I want to swim, I have to go down to Hillhead or somewhere further, which is quite a trek, quite a long way to go.
We're not necessarily running out of time, but there was a lot more that you wanted to talk about. We focused quite a lot on the Itchen. However, I do think it's important that we wake people up to the benefits of the Itchen and how important it is to Southampton.
Yes.
At the same time, you wanted to talk about the planning at
Middenbury.
Yes. Yeah. I say Middenbury, you say Middenbury. You're probably right. What's going on there?
Okay, so... at the top of the hill in Middenbury, St Mary's College was operating, and they left the site, and it's been taken over by Yarrow Heights and another school, Charlton. And there was quite a lot of surplus land in their view, which had been used as playing fields by St Mary's College. And an application went in to build on this site to put 84 houses there. And the access to this would be along Monastery Road, which is a little quiet cul-de-sac. And so the team working for the development company with Sovereign put forward, you know, responded to all the concerns raised by the ecologist, by the flood team, by the various different teams who had concerns about this. And it went to Planning and Rights of Way a couple of Tuesdays ago. And there was a lot of 100 people went from the local area, concerns about the impact on badgers and on other creatures that are living there. A very large green space, 3.3 hectares of green space. Sport England put in a don't do this to it, because once you've lost playing fields, that's it. You never get them back again. Who else? SCAPS, which is a local pressure group, Southampton Common and Park Spaces, they also said don't do it. And local people got in touch with me and said, you know, would I come and speak as a green councillor? So I went and spoke at it and talked about the green infrastructure strategy and how many people had responded to that and how important it was to keep our green spaces. And the members of the panel voted to 3 out of 4 voted against it. So for the time being, that land is saved. And now I'm talking to the groups of people who were against it to say, how can we keep this as a green space going forward? And there's a number of avenues for that, which we're exploring.
Congratulations. That's brilliant. But at the same time, you're absolutely right. You saved the space. Now let's prove all our points, isn't it? Let's get some sports on there. Let's get some interest going. Let's keep it a green and prosperous place.
Totally. And we know our city is at very, very high risk of flooding in you know, very localised flooding. I know Spring Lane had an issue with localised flooding recently, and it can just be a gully going the wrong way that can cause a property to flood. So for me, it's absolutely crucial that we keep these spaces in the city that can soak up as more and more can soak up the excess water as more and more people pave over their front gardens and build extensions at the back of properties. We're losing all of that sort of saturation and the ground there isn't any more space for, you know, especially with the climate change issues and more rainfall, sudden bursts of rainfall, and our system can't cope with it. That's when you end up with flooding incidents.
Well, we've come to the end of our section. That's been a very quick and interesting hour. My guest has been Catherine Barber. She's the Green Councillor for Portswood and Portswood and...
Oh, Portswood, Highfield and St Denis.
Thank you. Highfield, yes. And St Denis. And I know we didn't talk about cycling. You're going to cycle home. But what you did talk about was the Breeze app. And yes. So if you want to get around Southampton in an easy manner without using without using your car, then the Breeze app is probably the best thing for you. Thank you very much.
Zan, thank you. It's been an absolute delight.
Voice FM. Voice FM.